see everyone here in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many is ready for the Word of God? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm ready for the Word. It's what keeps us. It's what sustains us, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Word. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. He is good if Tennessee wins or loses, he is still good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But it is good if Tennessee wins. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some of us are not Tennessee fans in here. That's okay. That's okay. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. You're probably there because it's on the wall. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and multiply. That's what I want us to focus on today. Be fruitful and multiply. Then God blessed them, talking to Adam and Eve. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. Everybody say dominion. So these are the three words I want us to focus on. Fruitful, multiply, dominion. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, he gives the command again to be fruitful and multiply. In each covenant, he makes a covenant with Adam, be fruitful and multiply. He gives the command, the mandate, be fruitful and multiply. He tells it to Noah after the flood. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Even to Abraham, tells Abraham that in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 35, he gives the command again, be fruitful and multiply. And all the way through the old covenant, he's giving this command. He's giving this mandate, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. And then in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says that the church was multiplied. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Now, this is a command that was given with a physical aspect, right? To fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply. But there is a spiritual meaning to this. And it has connection with Matthew chapter... We're under the new covenant now, right? Amen. New covenant. Go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It's not just in heaven, is it? Now, why? Here's a good question. Why did Jesus say all authority is given to me? Well, God never lost his authority, did he? Whew. Well, we're getting deep now, aren't we? Why did he say all authority has been given to me? Well, God never lost his authority in the first place. Nobody can beat God. You can't outlive God. You can't outwit God. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. When Jesus made this proclamation, when Jesus made this statement, he said it, he is the God-man, right? He is all God, he is all man. And when Jesus made this proclamation, when he made this statement, he said it as a man having authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. Y'all get it? All right. He said that and he did that to let us know of our authority on earth. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, they asked Jesus, how do we pray? How do you pray? Jesus said, thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done. Y'all want to finish that for me? As it is where? Hallelujah. The whole point of the gospel is so that we could see heaven on earth. Yeah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Lord is wanting us spiritually to be fruitful and multiply. And when we are not seeing people saved, maybe we should ask ourselves this question: are we being fruitful? Are we understanding the mandate that God, listen, God has given us authority. And if you are a born-again believer, you are called. You are called to show fruit and to evangelize and to tell other people about the love of Jesus Christ through your actions, right? And there are times when the flesh will come in, right? And the flesh is with you every day, and you go through this daily battle, and you start to lose your temper. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I lost my temper yesterday. What? The pastor lost it a little bit? Yeah. Yeah. I accidentally went into the middle of the intersection, and somebody comes up and goes. And I'm like, I can't help it. Look, don't you see the situation right here? And so I'm losing it, right? And so the flesh is with me all the time. But then the Lord kept me in check, right? The Lord kept me in check. And so we go through these things, and I've got to understand who I am in Christ Jesus. If I understand who I am, then I can carry the authority that God has given me. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. All right, y'all ready? Are there any lost people in heaven? The reason why God gave us this mandate to be fruitful and multiply is for us to actually go and get people, y'all want to finish that for me, get people saved. And when we go out and get people saved, we are fulfilling what God has given us. Listen, we don't have to manufacture the fruit. We don't have to manufacture the gospel. We don't have to, we don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to market the gospel. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know how people charge people just to hear the word. I'm just going to be honest with you, and I don't know if I'm stepping on any toes. I don't see how they charge people money just to hear the word of God. Is this about money? No, it's not even about money at all. It's about your relationship with the Lord. And I tell you right now, the love of money, right? That's what the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And the Bible says that we don't have to market it. Y'all remember that scripture passage where someone, Simon, tried to buy the Holy Ghost, tried to buy it? Said, let me pay for this so I can do these miracles, so I can do what you're doing. Well, this ain't for sale, right? And you know what? The attitude that we should have today, we're not for sale. Amen. Right? When temptation comes your way, right? When things come your way, you need to say, you know what? I'm not for sale. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm married to Him. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm not going to have these thoughts of, well, I'm just going to walk away for a little while because I think God has, listen, God will never let you down. God will never fail you. And I'm sure that the enemy will come to you and say, well, the Lord has failed me here and the Lord has let me down here. Listen, I'm the first to tell you, listen, I've lived life. I've lived in my 30 years of living and I've lived a long time. In my 30 years of living, God has never let me down. Now, I've had a bunch of problems. I went through a bunch of battles, had a lot of trials I went through, but God never let me down. And He always seen me through at the end of the trial. And in the beginning of the trial, that's when you need to have faith. We always want to live in the before and after. But God says, I'm going to let you live in the middle of it to strengthen you, to give you character, to mold you so you'll grow up a little bit. Yes. We're going through these hard times, but you got to understand you have authority. You have authority in the earth. You've got authority to go to people. Listen, if we have a problem, and I know we all struggle with this at times. If we have a problem going up to somebody and say, hey, can I pray? I feel the Lord. I need to pray for you. Can I pray for you? If we're scared to pray for people, if we're scared to pray over our food in a restaurant or whatever, we are not exercising the authority that God gave us. And I hear people, they're so scared of these organizations, these anti-God. You better not talk about Jesus. You better not talk about God. You better not mention His name. Now, why do you think that they got more authority than you do when Jesus gave you authority and all authority is given to Him and given to you? You need to exercise your authority. Don't talk down and say, well, we better not talk about the Lord. We might offend people. Listen, if you understand that the Lord set you free, you'll talk about Him all day long. What God did for me through His Son, listen, I'll talk about it all day long. You're getting on my nerves, Pastor, talking about Jesus. I don't care. He saved me. He set me free. He sanctified me. He filled me with His Spirit. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Right? So all authority has been given to us. And He says, let's go to the next verse. And He said, go therefore and make disciples. And what I love about this verse, He doesn't say make converts. He He says, make disciples. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who continues in the word. A disciple is someone who does the word, right? So we've got to move from hallelujah, I'm saved, to praise God, I'm called to do the works of Jesus, right? Listen, he saved us by grace. Amen, church? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? He saved us by grace, but he didn't just save us from hell. He saved us for a great purpose. Can I get an amen in the house? He saved us for a great purpose. And listen, hallelujah, I'm saved. I got the blessed assurance, but I'm not going to sit on my blessed assurance.
That's right.
Right? I've got blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I know he's mine. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Now what am I supposed to do, Lord? But some people, they get caught up in, am I saved or not? Am I saved or not? I don't know if the Lord wants me to do this. I don't know if, why don't you start praying for people? There's a good start. Right? Listen, how many in here are saved? I believe we're all saved in here, right? We're all saved. How about we take the step of faith and start talking about Jesus to people?
Right.
Be fruitful and multiply. How about we start praying for people, start talking about the Lord, start going out and taking that step of faith? How many's ever felt the Lord telling you to do something, especially while you was in church, right? Right? You was in church and your heart starts going, man, I think the Lord's telling me something. Should I do it or not? Should I do it or not? The Lord's telling me something. Have you ever felt the Lord telling you to pray for somebody? Have you ever felt the Lord telling you, wait a minute, you need to give this to those people because they need it right now? Have you ever disobeyed the voice of God?
Yeah.
I've disobeyed, right? Now, how don't you think we need to start obeying?
Amen.
Obeying the voice of God. Everybody say the word of God.
Word of God.
How often do you hear the voice of God? The Spirit of God. We got the Word of God, now we got the Spirit of God. Everybody say, still, small voice. Still, small voice came to Elijah, right? And I believe that we can tune in to the Father, tune in to the Holy Spirit, to what He's telling us right now. And it will never, His voice, listen, His voice will never disagree with His Word. And you become more familiar with His voice when you read His Word and get in His Word, right? Everybody say, take the first step of faith. Some of you, you're called to do great things for the Lord. You're called to do great things, but something may be keeping you back. It might be low confidence. Maybe you may not be confident in what God's called you to do. Listen, if you're saved and you're filled with His Spirit, you've got gifts in you, and you say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. The way to find out what your gifts are is to step out in faith and start exercising your faith. And seeing where God is calling you to. Because the reason why people don't, you know why people don't know what their gifts are? Because they never do anything to actually find out what they are. You'll never find out what your gifts are just by reading about it. You with me, church?
Amen.
Pastor, you're against reading about it. No, I'm not. I think you should read the whole book. I think you should read the whole Bible next week, right now. I think you should read about it, but I think you ought to take a step of faith. I think you ought to take a step of faith and actually exercise your faith. Right? That's how you grow. Everybody say, serve.
Serve.
The only way that you can grow is serve. People, there are people who are saved. When they don't serve, they don't grow. And they think intellectual. They think the more they know intellectually, the more they grow. And it's not true. Spiritual growth does not happen with intellectual knowledge. Spiritual growth happens with obedience. And when you obey the Lord, when you obey God and you do His word, you'll start to see a change in your life. You'll start growing. You won't be spiritually immature. You'll start to be more mature in the Spirit. Amen. And we are called to make disciples. So we are saved. How about we walk into discipleship? How about we start making disciples? Listen, you can't make disciples if you don't get into people's lives. You've got to get in their life and make disciples, right? And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't baptize someone if you don't get near water. You got to be in their life. I know that's very simple. You just got to be in their life, right? That's the only way you can make disciples. Go to the next verse. Verse 20. teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. What a promise. I'm with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. And he's telling us to teach, and he's telling us to disciple. He's telling us to baptize. He's telling us to do these things. Right? And where did we ever get the idea that the pastor has to do all the baptisms? Amen, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't mind doing it. If you ask me to do it, I'll do it. Right? I'll get in there. I'll baptize you. Now, who said that the pastor is the only one who has to make disciples? Who said the pastor was the only one to do? Listen, we are all called to make disciples. And you've got to get involved in people's lives, people who aren't saved, people who don't know Jesus, and get in their lives and start showing some love, start showing some grace, start showing some mercy. Because you won't make disciples sitting on a chair. You won't make disciples sitting on the couch. You won't make disciples watching TV. And you won't make disciples playing the Xbox. I know that's probably not in right now. You won't make disciples just sitting around, not serving, not doing anything. But if you get involved with a toy drive, and you get involved with Fun Day at Camp Agape, and you get involved with serving in the church, serving, exercising your gifts, you'll start growing. You'll start seeing people get saved. Because if you don't exercise your gifts and you don't exercise your authority, you won't see any results. Thank God that the Lord is giving us this word this morning that we are to exercise our authority and the gifts that God has given us. Right? You say, well, Pastor, I'm shy. I am too. You don't know it, but I am. Hallelujah. I'm a little bit bashful. I don't know. I just don't know if I could do it. You can. I'm telling you, you can. All authority is given to you. Right? I remember the first time they asked me to pray out loud. Right, I remember the first message I preached. Man, I was so nervous. I had the mic in my hand. I was going, oh. Man, I was so nervous. And the message only lasted like 10 minutes. Right? But it was me taking a step of faith. And you're taking a step of faith. You got to take a step. It doesn't mean that you won't be nervous. It doesn't mean that you won't have any fear. It may be there, but you don't let it influence you. Did y'all catch that? It may be there, but you step out in faith anyways. You know why? Because he said, I am with you always. Always. When God asks you to do something difficult, when God asks you to do something that may be hard for you to do, you just need to remind yourself. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He said, so be it. I believe Jesus knows what he's talking about, don't you? Everybody say, be fruitful. And multiply. In Habakkuk 2:14, he said, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says that his government shall be increased. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we won't be barren. That God will keep blessing us, keep blessing us, keep blessing us if we're willing to take that step of faith. But you got to be willing to take the step of faith. You got to believe. Everybody say faith. Faith. You got to have faith. You pray for it. You believe it. I'm believing for people to be saved, right? Now, I believe in church growth. I believe in church. I believe the church should grow in attendance, in numbers. But here's the thing. The basis should be about the kingdom. It should be about discipling in our homes. Because that's where discipleship starts for children anyways, at the home, doesn't it? Right? We should disciple in our offices, where we work. Discipleship doesn't happen in here. Y'all catch that? Discipleship, we cannot make disciples just focusing here. We make disciples by going out. When Elijah was there at the party and this man gave his life to the Lord, it wasn't an outreach project. They weren't out trying to, well, this is the project we're doing. No, they were there and someone actually didn't know Jesus as in a personal relationship. Elijah was out there. People get saved and discipled out there. Now, there's some people that get saved here, right? But what would happen if we went, if we would go? Go, therefore, Jesus said. Be fruitful and multiply. And that's what God was talking about. From Genesis all the way to Matthew, Jesus, the Lord is hollering out, be fruitful and multiply. Labor for people to be born again. Labor to preach the gospel. Strive to preach the gospel. Give everything that you have in order to see people saved. Give everything that you've got in order to see people right with God. Because if it is the best thing that ever happened to you, then it needs to be your priority in sharing the gospel with other people. Right? Sharing the gospel. We are called to disciple people. I want y'all to listen real well here. We are called to disciple people, to become disciples who disciple people. Multiplication. Y'all get it? Disciple, disciple. It keeps multiplying. Everybody say multiply. That's the whole point of this. And if there's no multiplication and if there's no multiplying in the kingdom of God, we're missing it somewhere. We might not be praying like we need to be. We might not have that connection with God the Father. But the Lord is always wanting the growth of the kingdom. And the growth of the kingdom is what God is wanting. And we are called to disciple people. You know, there are people that are being discipled right now. They don't even realize it. They don't even realize they're being discipled. Right? When you go on your job and you're having Bible studies and you talk to people about the Lord, you may not even understand the concept of discipling. But that's what you're doing. You don't even tell the person that you're actually discipling them, but that's what you're doing. Upon this rock, I will build my church. The Greek word for that is ekklesia. Now, that word, I'm going to give you some history here. Y'all ready? Now, the word ekklesia, in Roman times, they would use that word to send out a governing body of the territory they conquered to change the mindset of the people of the territory they conquered. Ekklesia. Y'all with me? Upon this rock, I will build my ekklesia, the church. Born-again believers, right? And we are here to change the mindset, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're here for. We are here to give people something that will change their whole mindset, that will change their whole life, that we are here for a reason, that we are the church is a colony of the kingdom of God, right? We are here to represent God the Father, and we are ambassadors of God, and we are here to tell others about Jesus, to tell others about this message of grace, this message of hope, this message of mercy. Are we doing it? That's my question. Are we doing this? Right? You don't have to ask permission. God already gave you permission. All authority is given to me. Didn't he say that? You don't have to have permission to talk about Jesus. You don't have to have permission to do these things. You can disciple. You can disciple people. And that's what God has called us to do, teaching them to disciple. We aren't to manufacture the gospel. We aren't to manipulate the gospel. Listen, I want y'all to listen to this statement, okay? Jesus multiplied himself by 11. And those guys multiplied themselves. And they kept on multiplying. And guess what? I'm a disciple today because Jesus started the multiplication. Y'all get it? I'm a disciple today because of what Jesus did. Amen. And the kingdom is being multiplied. Hallelujah. He took 11 people. 11. And they multiplied themselves. That's the reason why you're here today. That's the reason why you're here today. We are called to be Christ-like, right? Then why don't we duplicate what Jesus is doing? That's what we are called to do, to fill the earth with the knowledge of God, to fill the earth with the wisdom of God. That's what we are called, all authority. Went to a Tennessee game yesterday. Told you that earlier in the game, did I? Did I tell you that? No, I didn't. Went to the Tennessee game yesterday. Driving up to the game, driving up to the stadium. Took forever to find a parking spot because we were running late and everything, right? But when we went up to Neyland Stadium, you knew where you was at. You knew you wouldn't have an Alabama game. Ooh. You knew you wouldn't have a Georgia game. You knew you wouldn't. You knew where you was at. You was in Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah. Right? You seen people wearing orange and white everywhere saying, go Vols, go Vols. They were selling T-shirts and sports memorabilia and all these things. And everything revolved around the Tennessee football team in Knoxville at Neyland Stadium. It was all about Tennessee that day. And when you drive up to the stadium, when you drive to that place, you're entering their domain. That's what kingdom means, you know. Kingdom, domain, the domain of the king, kingdom. When people enter your life, they are entering the domain. That should make you shout, run, hop, skip. Woo! Glory to God. They're entering the domain of the King. And we sing a song, "The King is Coming," and that's true. But I'm here to tell you the King is already here and lives in me. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. "For the kingdom of God is among you, within you." Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Hallelujah. You're going to shout after you read this verse. Praise the Lord. "He has delivered us." Everybody say delivered. "From the power of darkness. And he conveyed us into what? The kingdom of the Son of his love." I have the love of his Son in my heart forever and ever, for eternity. When I became born again, he gave me his love. He delivered me. Listen, darkness has no power over me. He delivered me. He set me free from the power of darkness, and he conveyed me into the kingdom, into the domain of the King. And when people enter your life, they're going to know what they've entered into. Man, I've entered into a new territory here, right? You know why they're going to know that? Because you're going to be talking about Jesus all the time. You're going to be talking about spiritual things. That's at the forefront of the matter. And when they enter your life, they're going to enter the domain of the King. Right? Just like I knew where I was going. Well, thought I was. Find a parking spot. Right? But I knew the vicinity. And I knew I was entering the domain. And when people go into your life, they're going to enter the domain of the King, and he lives here. And they're going to know who's your Lord. And they're going to know who's your Savior. And their lives will be changed. And before you know it, God will put people in your life. Listen, there's people in your life right now you need to be discipling. You need to disciple them. You be there with. That's all discipleship is. It's just relationships is all it is. Right? Right? What if I didn't have anything to do with y'all? Well, I couldn't disciple you, could I? What if you didn't have anything to do with me? You couldn't disciple me, could you? You got to open up to people. Hello? How are you doing today? Let's go grab some dinner. Let's go fishing. Let's go sit around. Let's do something. See, a lot of time we think discipleship is all about reading a book all the time. Let me give you some literature. A lot of people don't like to read these days. You with me? Nobody said amen on that. They just don't want to sit down and just read all the time. You got to hang out with them. You got to get in their life. Say, hey man, let's go do something, right? Instead of just sitting around all the time. Let's go hang out. Let's go pray for people. Let's go serve coffee. Let's go serve water. Let's go get some toys for the toy drive. Hey, how about we go to people helping people down here and help them? They feed the poor all the time. We got to do something in the kingdom of God. We got to be fruitful. We got to multiply. We got to do something. Tell your neighbor and say, get busy. You got to get busy. You got to go out and tell people about the gospel of the kingdom. Amen, church. That's what God has given us. That's the mandate he's given us. Look here, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. That should set us on fire. I've got light all over me, in me, around me. No darkness in me at all because I'm born again. Delivered me from the power of darkness. Put me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Listen, I can walk. The Bible says in John 14, this is what Jesus said. The works that I do, you will do also. What kind of works did Jesus do? Man, he did a lot of things, didn't he? The works that I do, you will do? Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Compassion, praying for people, seeing people healed, seeing great things, seeing the works that where men and women will say, only God can do that, right? Only God can do that. Man can't do that. I'm hungry. I'm hungry to see for what only God can do. I'm hungry to see for what only God can do and will do. I'm tired of just seeing stuff. What we pray. We only pray for things that we can do. But let's pray for what God can only do. I'm a living testament that God can do anything if you'll believe by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? Let's start exercising our gifts. Let's exercise the calling that God gave us. Let's do something for God. Let's be doers of the word and not hearers only. Please, don't just listen to the sermons. Don't just listen to the messages. Don't just listen or hear. Actually do them and apply them to your life and watch your life change. Lord, it's my prayer that us as a church, that we don't just be hearers, that we don't just listen, but we also apply what we've been told. So what have we been told this morning? Well, we've been told by God millions of times. Be fruitful and multiply. Go into the earth. Tell people about the gospel. Tell them about what God is doing. Tell them about what God is doing. If we have a problem with that, maybe we should ask ourselves, am I even right with God? Do I have a connection with God the Father? Right? When it comes to salvation, do I even have a connection? It's a good question, isn't it? Everybody say this, be fruitful and multiply. That's what God is wanting us to do. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, abide in me. And he said, you'll bear much fruit. Guys, I don't want to have to manufacture the fruit. You with me? I don't want to have to make it look good. Well, we got to make it look good. But there's no power. What good is if the church looks good and we look good, but there's no power? There's no power to bring people to the Lord. Amen? Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. What good is a church if Jesus ain't in it? What good? Without him. Now you know why I talk about him all the time, don't you? Now you know why. Now you know why everything revolves around him. He's the king. Amen. We're in the domain of the king. And that's what God is calling us to. So we're saved. Amen? We're saved. How about we start serving? Amen, church. Amen. I seen them bring the toys in. Amen. Seen them bring the toys in for the ministry, for the wide open ministries. Seen y'all do that. I see people in here. You're talking to each other, and that's a blessing. Amen. You're talking to each other. You love each other. Right? I told the church, and I'm almost done. I told the church this Wednesday night. I said, look. I don't want a reputation, and I hear people say this all the time. I hear people say this, especially at Overcomers Outreach, and Johnny does the Overcomers Outreach on Mondays and Thursdays, and we talk to these people, and they'll say this, well, I love Jesus, but I just don't know about the church. I want to know about Jesus, but I just don't know about the church, because some of them live a double standard, and I hear that quite a bit, right? Now, I know we're not perfect. And we need to strive for excellence. But some of the reasons that I've heard of why they won't have anything to do with the church is because they look at me differently. They look at me a little differently. They, you know, what I wear, what I got on. I just don't know. Double standard, things like this. They just treat differently. Treat me differently. Church, how about we not gain that reputation? Because when people come into the church, you know what the question they're asking? Is there anybody here that goes through what I go through? Is there anybody here like me? Amen. That's what they're asking. And they're actually looking for friendship. That's where discipleship comes in. Hope you didn't miss that. That's where discipleship comes in. Comes through gaining friendships with people in the church and in the body of Christ. And even those who aren't saved. That's what God has called us to do. And if we judge people all the time and not have anything to do with them, then we won't be able to disciple. We won't be able to be fruitful and multiply spiritually, from a spiritual aspect. I don't want this church to have that reputation. I just don't want anything to do with that church because they look at me differently. They treat me differently. I don't want this church to have that reputation. I want this church to love people with everything that they've got. Love them. Give to them. Tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. Tell them about the grace of the Lord. Because I don't want them to say, I don't want anything to do with them over there because they treated me differently. Pastor, you're getting real this morning. Yeah. Why can't I get real? Why can't I tell you what people are saying? That's what people are saying. Love Jesus, don't want anything to do with the church. That's what they're saying right now. How about we change that and we go to them? We say, look here, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to tell you what he's done for me in my life. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to live a life of excellence before him, to live holy before him. And I'll make mistakes. This week I'll make mistakes. Next week I'll make mistakes. 3 weeks from now I'll make mistakes. I'll fall. But it doesn't mean that I've lost my authority and my identity in Christ Jesus. All right? I'm almost done. What we did in the past does not define who we are.
Amen.
You've got authority. If you're saved, you're born again, you've got his spirit living in you. You've got authority. You can pray, obey the Lord, walk with him. God's giving you that. He's giving you that blessing of authority. Right? I got word this morning about the marriage. That's great. If you're married, that marriage class is really good. Because I hear a lot of results about it. And they were saying that the men should walk in authority, right? Walk in authority. Lead. Men, walk in authority. God's giving you authority. Walk with it. Believe it. Right? Now, you don't use your authority to abuse, but you use your authority to show love, to walk firm, to protect, to cherish, to guide, to do what God's called you to do in obedience to him. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask for a hands of agreement. All right, how many, he's already agreed, hallelujah. How many here is going, do you understand the concept of being fruitful and multiply now?
Amen.
Right, do y'all understand that?
Amen.
Amen. I want us to work together. Work together, whatever it may be. It may be on a Saturday, it may be on a Friday. Let me tell you, it's a lifestyle, it's not just a project, right? And I want to tell you this, evangelism is a process, not a project. You know, a lot of people think, well, let me give you the gospel right now, and you need to get it right now. Today is the day, right now. And used to, and I told them Wednesday night, that when I tell people the gospel and I tell them about Jesus and they don't accept Jesus, I say, increase the pressure. Increase the pressure. Put the pressure on them. And that's the worst thing you can do is put pressure on people to receive Jesus, because if you pressure people to receive Jesus, somebody else will pressure them out of it. Did y'all catch that? If you try to manipulate someone to receive Jesus, well, guess what? Somebody else is going to manipulate them out of Jesus. You with me? You let the Holy Spirit do his work. You know what we do? We get in a hurry and we don't let the Holy Spirit perform heart surgery. We hinder the work and we hinder the process because we try to pressure people. Listen, let God do the work. You just obey the Lord. Tell them the gospel. You love people. You love God. You love people. Let God do the work. You don't do the work. You love people. You love God. And you watch what happens in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom will begin to grow. Yes, there is a kingdom coming. The king is coming. But don't get so caught up that the king is coming that you forget about the king who already lives in you. The king lives here. And wherever you go, that's the domain of the king. Amen, church.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you that God can deliver you from boredom. Hallelujah. Right? He'll deliver you from boredom. You say, I'm bored. Get busy.
Amen.
I'm bored. Start serving. I'm bored. Do something for God. And the Holy Spirit will take you on an adventure that you'll never forget. I'm bored. I'm bored. Start helping the poor. Start feeding the needy. Start studying the Bible. Start doing something for the kingdom of God. And boredom won't be a problem for you. Right? You say, I listen to the preacher all the time. I'm bored. Well, if you'll apply, what the word has said, you won't be bored. Amen. Right? And I would go so far as to say that boredom is the root of all evil. Right? Because when a person's bored, they don't have no passion. They don't have no zeal. They don't care. I'm bored. I don't care. Whatever. People going to do what they're going to do. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Apathy. They don't care for nothing. Apathetic, right? You want to get rid of boredom? Start obeying God. You won't be bored. I'm telling you, you won't be bored. And that's one of the major factors of today. That's a major factor, right? Especially in young people's life like me. Right? It's a major factor. Boredom, it's bad, guys. And I'm here to say that if we don't have... My phone's missing. If we don't have... Oh, it's on. It's a video. It was. It died. If we don't have the phone or something, we get bored. We don't know what it's like to have a face-to-face conversation. Right? Lord, deliver us from boredom. So we could have more zeal and not have this apathy. And we need to care for souls and care for people in the kingdom of God. And start focusing on the Lord. And start doing things for God. Lord, deliver us from the spirit of boredom. It's tearing us. It's tearing our lives apart. Right? But when you obey God, I'm almost done, I promise. And when you obey God and you obey His word, I'm telling you right now, you won't be bored. You won't be calling everybody else, hey, I'm bored. I need something to do. Right? When you got Jesus in your heart and you got a connection with Him, boredom won't be a problem for you. Amen, church. And when He delivers you from boredom, people will start saying, man, this guy's got something in him. He's happy. He's joyful. He's got peace. He's smiling through his bad times. He's smiling in the valley. What's wrong with you? Right? He's got Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus this morning, man, you're missing out. People say, I can be happy without Jesus. Yeah, for just a short time. I could find fulfillment without Jesus and without the kingdom of God. Yeah, for just a short time. I could find purpose. Yeah, but only for a short time. It won't last. Anything that doesn't have anything to do with the kingdom, it won't last. It will not last. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we are receiving a kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And if you're in this kingdom, you won't be shaken. The storms will come. Bad times will come. Economic times will come. We had a gas scare just the other day, didn't we? Gas shortage. Things will come. But if you're in the kingdom of God, you won't be shaken. Because God will take care of you. Amen. You receive it? Amen. You receive it? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all bow our heads unto the Lord and let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. Lord, to fill this earth with the knowledge of God. Lord, give us the wisdom to wait on you, Lord, in witnessing to people and telling them about you, God. Give us the wisdom. Lord, we want a relationship with you, God. We want to see what you can only do. What you can only do, Father. Lord, we want to see that. Lord, we don't want man-made stuff. Lord, we want things that come from you. And Father, I pray, God, that you touch everyone here this morning, that they'll start exercising their gifts, God. If they have gifts that they don't know what they're gifted for, Lord, show them their spiritual gifts. Lord, I pray, God, that your hand be up on them, God. Show your power. Show your miraculous power, God. Lord, we need you today, now more than ever. And Father, deliver us, God, from the spirit of boredom. Give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And help us to understand our authority and our identity in you, Jesus. Help us to understand that, God. Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. in your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If anybody needs prayer, anybody needs, maybe you.